Right now, the damage is astounding. Hundreds of trees down across the Bay Area, this time with deadly consequences. And for a second week in a row, thousands are once again left without power.
There's no light, so there's no refrigeration. There's no way to take a shower.
We are tracking the widespread destruction from the wind and rain, including a landslide on the peninsula that is threatening homes. Also getting answers about the hours-long commute mess across the Bay, why experts say what we saw yesterday could become more common. Also, it is the escape at the Oakland Zoo that was all caused by our massive storm.
This is CBS News Bay Area with Juliet Goodrich.
We're talking from shoring up mudslides to clearing fallen debris to fixing damaged infrastructure. The Bay Area is in full cleanup mode today after yesterday's destructive and rare bomb cyclone. Sadly, this storm claimed five lives across the Bay Area, all killed by falling trees or tree limbs. Two people died in separate incidents in San Francisco. A homeless man died when a tree fell on his tent in Oakland. And two others died in Walnut Creek and San Mateo County when trees fell on top of their cars. In Newark, firefighters were able to extricate two people after a large eucalyptus fell on their truck. They actually had to use some tools to free the driver, whose legs were pinned by the weight of the tree. One of those victims transported to the hospital. And an on-duty San Francisco police sergeant is now fighting for his life tonight after a tree came down on his car on Brotherhood Way. He was rushed to the hospital, and tonight his family is asking for well wishes and prayers. All across San Francisco, we saw crews cleaning up the mess caused by downed trees. It was an impressive 700 trees and limbs that came toppling down during yesterday's storm. And you know, it wasn't just the trees. We're talking PG&E crews are once again, they're scrambling to restore power to thousands of customers across the Bay Area. The gale force winds knocked down more power lines. And for some frustrated residents in Walnut Creek, this outage comes after they lost power for 3 days last week.
It was deja vu all over again, let's say. Very challenging. There's no light, so there's no refrigeration. There's no way to take a shower because the water heater is electrically operated. No way to prepare food. The refrigerator, once again, the food's gonna spoil. There's people who live in this building behind me with small children, and they were out of power for 4 days last week. I can't imagine what it was like for them.
So here is the latest power outage map. PG&E still working to restore nearly 65,000 customers' power. At the height of the storm, nearly 200,000 were in the dark. Well, it was a much smoother commute across the Bay today. Not quite the case when the storm caused a huge mess on the Bay Bridge and it shut down the Bay Ferry. Our Lauren Toms is here now. And I know, Lauren, you spoke with a lot of people who were just hoping that it would entice business to come here. And what we saw yesterday kind of didn't help much, right?
Yeah, Juliet, chaos is how many commuters have described yesterday's trip home as those winds ripped through the Bay. The Bay Ferry was forced to cancel their trips during peak commute hours, and paired with hours-long backups on the Bay Bridge, commuters had few options to make it home.
Like many ferry commuters Tuesday afternoon, Gabe Weiss had one thought when he left the office.
I'm not going to get on a boat right now.
Weiss has been commuting on the ferry into San Francisco for 6 years. He says he's never seen conditions like he did Tuesday, which prompted the ferry to stop service for hours.
I can count on one hand the number of times that I felt even slightly queasy on a ferry ride across the Bay. It's not, even when it's raining hard, it's not like that. When I looked out at the Bay, it felt like I was looking at the ocean.
Amid high winds Tuesday, commuters became stranded leaving San Francisco. The gusts strong enough to overturn a large semi-truck on the Bay Bridge, halting traffic for hours. But Emily Loper of the Bay Area Council says incidents like this are only getting worse as the number of commuters driving into the city is surpassing pre-pandemic levels.
And this is really affecting, you know, worker productivity and happiness. They're having to leave earlier to get to their jobs. They're in and getting home later. They're spending less time working and less time with their families.
One system that remained in operation was BART, but it wasn't without its flaws. Many riders reported major delays and extremely packed trains. Others say some Transbay trains stopped short of their destination to turn around and head back to San Francisco.
I was really happy to see the transit operators working together to get people home during the storm, you know, when the ferries were canceled because of these really treacherous waves. Then BART and the bus operators were working together to get people back.
And Weiss agrees. After hopping out of his rideshare that was at a standstill, he says he went to BART to make it home.
As chaotic as it was, I ended up getting home maybe like 20 minutes later than I normally would on the ferry. I mean, if that's not a highlight for San Francisco public transit, I don't know what is.
The Department of Emergency Management is encouraging residents to create a personal emergency preparedness plan for extreme weather events like we've seen recently. They advise people to select a meeting spot, establish an out-of-area contact, and note alternative transportation routes.
Yeah, I think yesterday is a reminder that this is serious business. Have that emergency plan ready. Even though we keep saying it, do it, right? All right, Lauren, thank you. Appreciate it. All right, in San Francisco, some autonomous cars also had trouble navigating through the mess caused by the storm. So today we saw a driverless Waymo trying to get through a section of Haight and Broderick. That was closed off because of downed power lines. This caused an even bigger backup in that area. And it wasn't only Waymo. Crews seem to have similar issues in the city. We got images of two cruise cars tangled up, look at this, in caution tape after a street closure due to downed muni lines. Now, crews did issue a response saying, given the damage caused by last night's storms, some of our cars briefly entered areas with downed trees or power lines. Some were able to proceed autonomously, but where needed, the immediately dispatched teams to remove the vehicles. All right, well, it is slow going through the Altamont Pass for the third day in a row, and that's due to the far right eastbound lane still closed for repairs, and that's because the super saturated soil, say that five times fast, it began sliding out from under the roadway on Monday. So crews are also working to repair a storm damaged retaining wall. That could also take a while. All right, let's head to Woodside now. 30 homes right now under evacuation advisories because of the threat of mudslides. And the sheriff's department spent much of the morning actually going door to door, ensuring everyone that they knew about the situation and had ample time to leave. So the people affected live along Patrol Road in Woodside. The sheriff's department is telling them be ready to leave at a moment's notice if necessary. Now, this is the landslide in question. You can see the amount of mud, look at that, and debris that came down already. It was actually blocking parts of the road this morning before crews managed to clear it up. But they are worried that it's not over and even more could come loose and cause even more damage.
Just watching what's going on. Hope it's okay. We haven't seen this for a while, but it doesn't surprise me living up here with this amount of rain. It's kind of inevitable.
While the road is now accessible, emergency personnel do not want people to think that the risk is over. The advisory will stay in effect for at least the rest of the night. So let's now switch to Darren Peck, who's going to fill us in on what we have in store for us. Because, yeah, we're not out of the woods with all that mud and all that water. There's still that concern of slides,
and
right?
This storm was uniquely impactful.
Yeah.
We lost five lives yesterday. Yeah. And the images coming in from the Santa Cruz Mountains and the sound we're hearing from people who were there, who've been there a long time, who say they've never seen this kind of impact from the Santa Cruz Mountains. This storm had some important elements for us to kind of wrap our heads around. I think one of the images, which maybe drives the point home as much as any other, that Sarah Donci shot this on her iPhone. She was driving into work and was so impressed she had to pull over to get video of it. It's not so much the water sloshing onto the Embarcadero, it's the size of the waves. Let's let that one go by. Look past that. Look at the size of the waves out there. So it's not only Sarah and me and maybe you who are super impressed by that. The city engineer for the city of San Francisco also had some things to say. Here's what he had to say about that.
Barges slamming into the bridge. I would have to say the winds were of a historic nature. I've never seen the wind get kicked up so bad.
Okay, a quick review on what happened. This storm intensified rapidly. It looked like the eye of a hurricane over us yesterday. Obviously, it wasn't. It was just a very strong mid-latitude cyclone that rapidly intensified. If it looked like an eye of a hurricane on the satellite, you could actually see an opening in the clouds yesterday from San Francisco that looked like the eye of a hurricane. It was cloudy everywhere else, but there was an opening here. And thanks to the viewer who caught that and shared that picture with us, you see that when tropical storms and hurricanes come on shore. This wasn't one of those. But the speed with which it intensified did give this thing a real important boost when it came to the wind. And even though you could call it a bomb cyclone because it intensified so rapidly, the other term which really had the biggest impact was something called a sting jet, likely. If you've got the center of the low here, we saw that coming. Look at the bands of deep purple right here getting pulled across the peninsula, the city, the East Bay shoreline. The streamlines show you the direction they're moving. When systems rapidly intensify like this one, sometimes they're able to pull down some of the energy from the highest levels of the atmosphere and through a complex series of events, bring that wind energy down to the ground. And that's what we experienced yesterday. And that's why this one has some of the more unpleasant results, the images and the lost lives. This one was unique and probably the most impactful storm from many ways of looking at it that we've seen so far this year. I'll be back with a complete forecast in a bit. We're going to turn our attention to the storm coming our way next week. It doesn't look like this, but it does look like it's going to be more widespread rain and possibly wind. I'll have more on that coming up in a bit. Juliet, back over to you.
All right, Darren, thank you so much for that explanation. Puts it in perspective for us all. Now, look at this. Several trees fell at the Oakland Zoo during yesterday's storm. One even fell on their newest aviary. So what does that mean? Well, none of the animals were injured, but six birds did fly out into the zoo. The zoo actually says all six are still on zoo grounds and they are working around the clock to retrieve them. They say the birds pose no threat to the public or any other animals.